My colleague Damien Verpillot and I are engineer of the Intelligence des Patrimoines research program. So today we are introducing the Heritage Digital Ecosystem, which is a project of Intelligence des Patrimoines. And we will focus on the data platform and particularly on the FAIR Data Heritage Processing Chain. So Damien, we can do next. Okay, so this is the summary. So first, we will just introduce the project of Heritage. Then we will focus on the Donne platform and enter more in details in the FAIR Data Processing Chain in order to explain how FAIR it is. And finally, we will end with a demonstration of the use of this data platform. Okay, so we can continue. Okay, so Heritage is the project that has been launched in 2017 by Intelligence des Patrimoines Research Program. The main goal was to foster collaboration between researchers producing data from transdisciplinary scientific fields with a focus on cultural and natural heritage and facilitate knowledge dissemination. The ecosystem is composed of a suite of digital resources, tools and services dedicated to heritage data acquisition, publication and disseminations. So it was designed all these years with researchers, for researchers to meet their requirements. It is also, it will be accessible online from a unique portal. And we are at the moment in the development phase. And we envision publication of this ecosystem on the web until the end of July. So we can do next. Okay. The first year of the project, we made a lot of meetings with researchers and to acquire all the requirements. Collect all the requirements of the researchers from the all the network of Intelligence des Patrimoines. So yes, we managed to compile five big requirements, which are first, provide researchers with high-level scientific equipment to acquire quality data without financial investment. Then guide researchers through the process of submission and publication of research data on the web, following a data management plan for open data as required by many funding organizations. Enhance visibility and interoperability of heritage data that has been produced by research projects by making them findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable, so you know the FAIR principles, and allow cross queries between different project data sets and open data flows. Fourth, enforce sustainability of research data by guaranteeing secured and long-term storage in a certified data warehouse hosted by the University of Tours and CNRS, and harvesting compliance with institutional open data aggregation platforms. And finally, disseminate new knowledge to general public through production of digital mediation applications. So just to complete this presentation, I wanted to say that all the data that will be submitted and integrated and published on this digital ecosystem is from the research of the Région Centre-Val de Loire scientific projects. So the data has to come, has to have a coverage, a spatial coverage on the region or the scholars working on this project has to be affiliated to institutions of the region Centre-Val de Loire. So it's a regional focus on the data. For all these requirements, we managed to, we proposed three platforms. For the first requirement, we proposed an equipment platform, so dedicated to data acquisition, because researchers are able to book equipment for this. Then another platform, which is called Données Platform, which aims at helping contributors submit, integrate, and publish the data. And finally, a third platform, which is called Médiation, which goal it is to valorize and disseminate new knowledge to general public through the production of digital mediation applications. So we will focus after this on the Données Platform, but first we wanted to show you a small introduction, video introduction that has been made because we work on many video supports in order to spread the information to hold our targets, such as scholars, socio-economic agents, and the general public. So Damien, you can start the video. Yeah. In this small introduction, the three platforms aim to cover all the heritage data processing chain from acquisition to dissemination. And at the center of the heritage digital ecosystem, we have the Données Platform. And that's on this that we will focus for now. And okay, so you can do next, please, Damien. Okay, so the Données Platform is dedicated to scholars, socioeconomic agents, and interested visitors, but the contributors are the scholar data producers, so the researchers. And this platform is aimed to help these researchers to submit, integrate, and publish their research data. The complete data managing process is explained at the next slide. Thank you. So we proposed a data processing chain articulated in five steps. First, data management plan definition, so called the DMP. Then data set submission, dataset indexation, dataset publication, and finally, metadata enrichment. I wanted to focus and put the accent on the importance of metadata. As you know, in this it has been a lot recalled in this conference. The data processing chain is based on the descriptive information that accompanies the deposited data, which are called metadata. In our process, it allows us to automatically extract information about the source datasets, to reconstruct the relationships between the datasets, to help making data interoperable, to make it easier for indexing them, to give more visibility when datasets are published, and finally, help preserving data intellectual property, which is a big point in our process. To do this, a common definition and classification of metadata is necessary. And this definition and classification is already available thanks to standard control vocabularies such as metadata schemas, Dublin Core data sites, and so on. Thesauri, like Eurovoc, Pactels, ontologies with Sidoc CRM, CRMGO, Friend of a Friend, and so on. And in order to help us normalize the source metadata, we have to map them to this control vocabulary. So we chose an automatized process because the goal of this ecosystem and the Donne platform is to be fed and maintained by contributors and without the help of a human without the help of a human intervention for the first step of the data integration. We can do to the next slide. Okay, so first we will start with the data management plan definition. So as we said before, the DMP reduction allows data producer to provide first administrative metadata on the projects and research products, like the actors, the purpose of the project. Legal metadata about the research products related to intellectual property, like rights, data reuse license, which is very important in an open science, an open science process. And very important, the unique identifiers called DOI for the research product datasets in order to make them identifiable and findable on the web. The second step is the dataset submission. So once the DMP has been defined, submitted, and validated by the legal desk of the contributor's institution, the contributor loads the datasets of the research projects. So the research projects which have been defined in the DMP. They add generic metadata for indexing, such as the scientific domain, spatial, and temporal coverage. So for this this part, we made a dedicated page on the Donne platform. So Damien, if you can show us the next slide. Okay, so in this page, researchers are able to retrieve all the contribution process. So we can see on the left, we can access to a tutorial to understand all the steps of the data submission. There is a link in order to access to the DMP reduction. So for us, it was very important to use the proposed DMP manager by Opidor. So we just built a DMP model for our needs, and we guide the user in order to help him use this DMP, complete this DMP at each step, and with a lot of information and sometimes even text to copy. Yes, it's very, very guided in our DMP model. Then after this, the DMP is submitted, and the user can access the submission form for his data set. Okay, so let's continue with the dataset indexation. So when the datasets are submitted in our form, an automated indexation is run by the system. So it comprises the extraction and normalization of metadata from the DMP, from a submission form, and even the data set contents. So we have three types of metadata. First, legal and generic metadata from the DMP and submission form, which are mapped to the standard metadata models, like Dublin Core, DCAD, ZISAT, Friend of a Friend, and BNF. Second, technical metadata from the datasets multimedia resources. They are mapped to multimedia formats compatible with the tool called EXIF tool. So the standard is the EXIF tool data model. And third, spatial temporal metadata from both the submission form and datasets multimedia resources, which are mapped to GeoNames and GeoSparkQL. So with these three types of metadata, which are extracted and normalized, we have at the end a generation of an XML file, which compiles all these normalized metadata. So the whole project, as you can see here, we have a small example of what we can have at the end of these data indexations. So this XML file is used then in order to help publishing the research projects. So it's the fourth step. So once the datasets are indexed, they are automatically published in data catalogs of the Donné platform. First, the catalog of records, then, but also multimedia data catalogs and geographical data catalogs. So you have here three ways to navigate through the research projects and the datasets which have been submitted and published. So first, about the catalog of records, the goal is to provide access to the records of the dataset. So it's to all the metadata which have been completed in the DMP and the form. So it's each research project is described within a notice or an entry, which compiles its generic, administrative, and legal metadata, and accompanied, if the DMP allows it, by a download link or a reference to the webpage of the project. Then, if the dataset contains multimedia resources, the notice includes a link to the associated resources in the multimedia data catalog. And if the dataset contains geographical informations, the notice includes a link to the associated resources in the geographical data catalog. Concerning the multimedia data catalog, the aim is here to describe each multimedia resource, image, audio, video, or 3D model of a dataset, And the resource is described in a notice compiling its technical metadata. The notice contains an online overview from a standard conversion of the resource when possible. So for images will be JPEG, for audio MP3, for video MP4, and for 3D model GLTF. And also a link to the related research project in the catalog of records. So even the catalogs are linked together. So finally, if the, sorry, Damien, you can go back, sorry. Okay, so if the DMP allows it, the notice also contains a download link of the original version of the resource. Okay. For the geographical data catalog, the goal is to describe geospatial information from each natively specialized research product. So geospatial information can be displayed on different base maps, dynamic or statics. When it has attributes, it is possible to display them in a tooltip. And these tooltips allow, when relevant, to make the gateway to the catalog of records and multimedia data catalog. So here you still retrieve the links between the catalogs. And what I wanted to add about this is that you can add regional, national, international data flows in order to compare all the data you have with open data around the world. So, yes, we can go next. So these three catalogs are accessible on the dedicated pages. So you can see here the three overviews. Fourth, dataset publication. So now the whole normalized data is also published on the web of data. It was something we wanted to have in order to be fair. And thanks to the generation of RDF triples from the normalized metadata, we are able to expose a SparkQL entry, which is accessible online. And we are then able to launch SparkQL queries from an interface, but also by API. About metadata enrichment. So as you see, the first complete automatic processing of research products has helped us to provide basic metadata about the dataset, the project, and so on. And after the publication of this data, we propose a complementary step, which is a manual step. So it's called metadata manual enrichment. And it is the target is the contributor again. And at this step, the contributor can be able to map the schemas of textual resources from the research project, from the research projects. So it concerns source data sets like XML, CSV, TSV, SQL, Excel, and so on. So textual resources. And we propose for this two activities. First, the alignment of schemas metadata terms to standard tesory terms. And then the mapping of textual resources schemas to the ontology of the donate platform. For the first activity, it makes it possible to create keywords which will be added to the metadata of the datasets, and thus will give more visibility to these data sets when searching or filtering keywords on the catalogs, for example. It also generates semantic annotations in RDF format, which will feed the triple store and give more visibility to the data set on the web of data. So the Sparkle queries will be more precise. The second activity generates RDF triples, describing the textual resources of the datasets that will feed the triple stores of the triple store of the platform, and thus give more precision to the datasets on the web of data. So, okay, so we can find the three tools corresponding to the metadata querying and also the enrichment of data metadata. For this, we have not been reinventing the wheel. We have chosen to reuse three libraries. First, the SparNatural library, which help the user to build Sparkle queries without being a specialist of Sparkle, but also not a specialist of the data, the underlying data model. Then for the mapping, the alignment of standard metadata terms, we chose to use the Onagi, which Onagi tool, which will be soon developed as an online version. And for the schema mapping to the ontology of the Donnet platform, we chose to reuse the 3M, so the manager of 3M. Okay. We can go to the next slide.
I think we will not have the time to,
okay,
to show the video. Just one word about the geocatalog. So I have been silent at the presentation, but the geocatalog, the data is WMS and WSS services. So we are streaming the spatial information, and obviously it's available on the geocatalog itself, but it's also possible to use it on your GIS and other spatial online tools. So we are doing the same thing as we discussed yesterday about how to share spatial data for people that are not really into the GIS world. And we try to make complex spatial data available in the most easy possible way. So that was just the point I wanted to discuss.
So if we don't have the time, let's just say that the final video was a demonstration of the data platform process. You will be able to retrieve it inside the slides after the conference.
Yeah, I will share the video on the chat and on the document so that people can see it if we have because we don't have the time to show it here.
So the final words would be that we are actually in very active developments. So it is a work in progress, and we are aware that any suggestions, advice, and recommendation to help us. And yes, we hope we will be able to publish this ecosystem by the end of July, but future improvements will be added, future tools will be added, and other services also we didn't show you in this introduction. So now I'd like to thank you for your attention, and if you have any questions, please let me know.